What's up, guys? Welcome back to another segment of the Knowledge Heist podcast. We have a very special guest right here to my right. Before he introduces himself, just want to appreciate everyone that's watching, that's listening, giving feedback, and, you know, appreciating the value that we're giving out. And we'd appreciate if you keep giving that feedback. And yeah, man, to my left, we got OD the Barber, as always. And then right here to my right, we have a very special guest. His name's Adrian, specializes in Muay Thai. He has a very, very interesting and very outstanding background that he's going to talk about. So let's get right into it, man. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
So my name is Adrian, Adrian Yanez, from San Diego, live in Hollister now. So Muay Thai fighter, train. I have a small program where I train youth and to keep them off the streets for free. So for those that can't afford it, and also dealing with mental health issues, PTSD and anxiety specifically. So just got back from Thailand, man.
Yeah, dope, dude. I appreciate you, your time and your interest in being here. So I want to start off, talk a little bit about your background, how you started fighting, and some of the reasons why you started fighting.
So my dad was a boxer, actually. My dad was a boxer, and my mom was a bodybuilder. So I got into mixed martial arts originally for health reasons and to keep me, like, off the streets, I guess, and to keep me busy. So when I started doing that, I did it as a sport for health reasons. My heart was always, I had a bad heart murmur growing up. So pretty much told me I needed to get into something. That was the only thing that I liked to do that I was good at was martial arts. So I started getting into that for health reasons and just ran with it, man. Started competing. I got really good at it, even though I don't like fighting or violence or confrontation. That was one of the things that I was good at. So someone told me, if you're good at it, you should try to compete at it. And I didn't. Kind of took off from there.
Now, growing up, you said, you know, your dad was a fighter. Was that kind of something you looked up to? Like, did you see yourself fighting?
Not really. No, my dad was a fighter, but my dad was my dad was abusive. Mm-hmm. My dad was used to beat my mom. Pretty much was abusive to us, so he kind of had anger issues. Mm-hmm. I don't know my dad. Don't know him too much. I just know that he was a fighter. I know who he is. He was in prison for a long time. But him being abusive to my mom and everything like that was just made me fight in schools. I was a bad kid, dude. Like a bad, bad kid. Always fighting in schools, getting in trouble, getting suspended. My mom always having to come and pick me up. Mm-hmm. But I think that had a lot to do with why we were so aggressive. And I think kind of fighting just I was able to release my aggression that way on the heavy bags and training as opposed to on the streets with other people.
Now, when did that come to surface? Did you ever start questioning yourself why you were so angry?
No, you know what? Like, I didn't know why I was angry going through that because everybody in the neighborhood that I lived in was dealing with the same thing. Like, their parents weren't around. They were drug addicts. They didn't have a dad. Like, all my cousins, my first cousins, most of their dads were drug addicts or weren't around. So it was normal to me. I thought this is what happens, this is what you're supposed to do. But I had a lot. The only difference between me was that I didn't let people know I was angry. I held it in for so long. Where like my brothers and them, they would be like fighting on the streets to let people know they were angry, kind of. Mm. They'd express it in different ways. Where me, I just held it in, and then I would release it on certain people and different ways and things like that. So I was a little bit different, man.
It was kind of, so you kind of realized it, that was what was affecting you, right? But it didn't make sense to you. It was kind of just normalized.
Yeah, I didn't think about it until I got older, and I thought, okay, this is the reason why I was dealing with everything was because of my childhood. Mm-hmm. My dad not being around wasn't that big of a factor because my mom pretty much raised us, did everything for us that mm-hmm. he didn't do. But I think just the fact that I seen a lot as a kid, man. Like, I seen him, you know, my dad pretty much knocked my mom out unconscious, you know, and then he called the cops because he thought she was dead. Like, that didn't affect me until I got older, and I realized, like, okay, this is why I did what I was doing. This is why I went through what I was went through. But I was the type of kid that I didn't really get hurt or affected if you hit me physically. It was more of what you told to me. Mentally, I was weak. Mm-hmm. Like, I would, you know, people would make fun of me or say something, I would laugh and then go back to the room and cry, you know? Like, I think it was the same thing with my dad. Like, he would hit us, or he would hit my mom mostly. And it never really affected me. And I didn't think about it until I got older. I'm like, damn, this is why I had to deal with what I dealt with growing up. Like, this is why I had a hard childhood. Like, it sucked, but, you know, I mean, it is what it is now. That's why I'm at where I'm at now.
Yeah. And how old were you around that time?
Dude, I was, like, probably 6. My dad went to prison when I was, like, 10. So, from, like, when I was born to up until 10. Yeah, and then after that, I was probably, like, 11. But still, he went to prison for a long time, man. Mm-hmm. after that.
Was there any, like, did you guys come to a civil place, you and your dad? Like, did you build communication with him?
No, what's funny is that my dad has a, I honestly think my dad has a, he doesn't think that he did anything wrong. He's kind of one of those people, I'm not sure if maybe he has some issues too. That's why I have issues or something, but he doesn't understand what he did. Like, I don't think he honestly truly remembers. I think when he would get angry, he would black out. But now, I mean, he's out of prison. He's doing good. He has like another little family. He has kids, and he's a good dad. It's just kind of weird to see him like that with my brothers and sisters, because he wasn't like that with us. But the one thing with him is that it doesn't occur to me, he's been out of my life for so long, that I have a dad. You know what I mean? It's not like, hey, I want to call my dad today, or I'm going to see if I want to rekindle a relationship. I forgave him a long time ago. Right now, he'll keep in contact with me, you know, try to tell me good luck on my fights or training and things like that when I train. But it just doesn't hit me like, hey, he's my dad, and like, yeah, I should go try to talk to him or spend time with him. I think that's already over and done with. I think now it's just, now that I forgave him, he's out, he's doing good, it's kind of like, all right, now I move on.
Definitely.
You know, got to move on from here.
Now, I want to talk about what you just said about forgiving, because I feel, you know, it's hard as a human being, we're emotional creatures, so it's hard to forgive because there's a lot of factors. One of the main factors is ego.
Yeah.
Was it hard for you to forgive him?
Not really.
And how was that process? Like, how were you able to forgive him?
It's kind of crazy. That's a good question, man. I never forgave him in person. Mm-hmm. I just kind of forgave him like, hey, look at what he did. What he did. I'm fine with that. You know, I'll forgive him, just me and God. And I think I was more angry at my mom for allowing it to go on for so long. And then after he was gone, I blamed everything on her. I put everything on her as opposed to me putting it on him. But he wasn't around for me to do that. You know, as I got older, I couldn't, like, it's your fault that this happened or that I went through this. So I took it out on my mom, which made me feel bad. But as far as forgiving him, like, I, you know, it wasn't like I went up to him.
So it wasn't direct.
Yeah, it wasn't direct. It was just, we have a weird relationship where we don't really express our feelings or emotions to our family. So with him, it's just like, hey, Dad, you know, every time, if I do see him, which is very rare, I haven't seen him in like a couple of years, but it's more like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? You know, like, I see you fighting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like that awkwardness, but like, all right, cool, it's over and done. We don't have to talk about the past anymore. But yeah, after that, it's kind of like, all right, it's like a unspoken forgiveness, you know? It's kind of, yeah, it just,
it kind of came.
And did you do it for yourself, or I mean, because
I think I did it more for more for myself, man, for my own. So I didn't have to be angry anymore, because I was kind of angry as a kid. I was just angry at the world. I hated people. I hated being around people. I just felt like I had a chip on my shoulder, but I never showed it. It was only with certain people. My brothers would see it. My younger brother would see it. My mom would see it. But everybody else that wasn't related to me, no one ever knew. They thought, oh, he's a happy, funny guy, like energetic. But I go back home and I'd be like super, super angry. You know, like, man, I hate this. I hate this. I hate that. So I did it more for myself. But honestly, it's yeah, forgive myself for that.
Yeah.
Forgive him too.
Now, I noticed that in talking about this, you say that you never really showed it. Like, you didn't show that you were angry. You didn't show that you were, you know, in the streets fighting because you wanted to fight. It was because, you know, it was just built up, right?
Yeah.
And then you also talked about how it was the emotional pain, not so much the physical pain. How did you kind of suppress that, you know, outside? And then, like, your family was like, okay, what's going on here?
Oh, like, how did I suppress it around other people? And
yeah, like, and then how, you know, now when you look back in hindsight, it kind of just exposed. I want to transition this into how it got, everything kind of exposed itself, right?
Yeah.
Like when you said you were in the military. Mm-hmm. So the suppression, and then how did it get exposed?
I'm going to have to go back a little bit then, because, like, there's a lot of other stuff that my dad did to my mom as a kid. And one of them was, I pretty much watched him rape my mom in front of me. And that night, I had to pretend that I was asleep and not move and pretend like nothing happened, that I didn't know what happened, because I felt more awkward. Like, all right, dude, they know I was awake. Wow. I was young, and I only remember bits and pieces of it.
Yeah.
But I think after that, I learned to put on another front and another fake, like fake personality around people, so they didn't know anything was wrong with me, or like that I felt weird, because I felt like, does everybody know that I know this, or I've seen this? Mm-hmm. Or like, so I always had to like try to play it off. So I think around other people that didn't know me, I'm like, okay, they don't know nothing happened, so I'll just act like nothing happened. And around my family, they didn't know why I was so angry. So I felt more comfortable. I felt uncomfortable being around my family because I felt like they knew what I knew and what I seen. So I felt super awkward around them. So around other people, I'm like, they don't know what happened. So I felt comfortable around them. I could open up to them more than my family. So that, I think that's why I was able to hold it in so good around other people. And then when I was around my family, I was always angry because I felt like they knew what happened. Because, like, you know, especially with my mom, like, I feel like she knew that I was awake. She knew that I know. She knows that I know, but it's awkward to talk about it. That makes sense? So yeah. I felt uncomfortable around my family. I felt more comfortable around people I don't know, which is, yeah. And I think I had to develop those two personalities. Like, people didn't want me around. Like, oh, here comes Adrian. Like, he's always a troublemaker. He's always breaking things. Like, my family, for example. But I never realized, and they didn't realize why I was doing that stuff. It was because of everything that I seen at home. So I was doing, like, crazy things. Like, you know, one day I got my cousin's wrestlers and I just started burning the heads and watching them melt. Mm-hmm. And I thought, like, if I look back now, I'm like, dude, that kid's gonna be a serial killer. Mm-hmm. So, good thing I'm not a serial killer, man. But, but I mean, like, you know, things like that, no one really noticed. No one really thought, like, oh, he has issues. They just thought, like, oh, he's just crazy. So no one wanted me around. So I had to put on a front to be accepted. Like, okay, I had to stop doing this. I had to stop doing this. So my family would accept me and want me around. So I felt like nobody wanted me. My dad didn't want me. You know, girls didn't want me at the time because I was just crazy. My family didn't want me, so I had to put on a fake personality, fake, like, a fake front, smile. Yeah, front.
Yeah.
And to be around people. So the only people that really were cool to me and accepted me and that were, like, understanding were people I didn't know. So that was easy for me to do that around other people. And when I went back home, then I was, like, the regular Adrian, always in a bad mood, angry, you know? So.
Wow, man, that's pretty intense.
I got the chills, man.
Yeah, dude, that's intense because... Now, when you look back at it, it makes sense. But, I mean, you still saw what you saw. You still experienced what you experienced, right?
Yeah, I've actually never talked that. I never told anybody that. But,
wow. So. No, I appreciate it, man. It's deep because it really brings out your true character. Mm-hmm. You talked about, right now you mentioned that you put up a front and how everyone perceived you.
Yeah.
Talk about how, like I said, I want to go back into the transition, how all that got exposed because, you know, how you kind of developed anxiety, right? So, did you feel like, looking back, egotistical in a sense? Like, how did you feel pretending, I guess? That's what the question is. Like, how did you feel pretending?
Like, putting on the front of
who was. Yeah, and then when did you finally say, like, you know what, fuck this? Unless you probably didn't say it like that, like you said, you got exposed.
Yeah, I think I did it for so long to the point where I almost forgot that I was putting on the front, and I thought that was me. But I wasn't happy with my life. I wasn't happy with myself. Like, I hated myself for a long time. I was just so angry. I hated everything. I'm like, I don't understand why I had to be born. So I feel like trying to do MMA, right? I got into MMA and I thought this will help. It helps me feel good. But no one supported me. Like, my family didn't support me. They didn't really come out. I couldn't afford to stay in the gym too long. It was super expensive. You know, we grew up kind of poor. So it was just, I don't know, man. Like, that's the... I don't know if I wasn't egotistical. I didn't have an ego,
yeah.
But
you were just protecting yourself.
I didn't know. I didn't realize that I was putting on a front for, like, I got so used to it to the point where I didn't know who I really was. I knew I wasn't myself, but then I was like, man, I got a lot of issues I got to deal with, but I got to be myself. But how do I figure out who myself is? I've been putting on a front for so long to the point where it almost became natural.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a.
That's very interesting, man. Because I feel like that's in psychology, man. There's a lot of cases like that.
Yeah.
And there's a case like that where they did a case on prisoners. They set up a fake setting, and they put fake guards and fake prisoners. And it just showed how humans, bro, could adapt to those titles, right? Eventually became that the guards became really, really rude, and prisoners felt like they were actually prisoners. Mm-hmm. And it was just a fake setting, bro. It was a study in Stanford. So it kind of goes back to that, how you kind of were faking it to the point where it's like it almost became who you were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like your mind, like whatever you think, right? Your body will do, like, mm-hmm. So if you think something for long enough, your body is going to start to do it, and everything else is going to be like, oh, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Like, so you have to retrain and rewire your brain. Rewire. And so
like
that's
that.
Yeah, that's what I teach some of the kids now.
Cool, man. I want to go back a little bit. I want to talk about how the day you said it, everything kind of got exposed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. For
kind of talk about the your military background and kind of.
So yeah, I ended up doing MMA. Didn't work out. So then at 25, I was like, I'm going to be 26. I need benefits. Like, I'm not going to be my mom's insurance anymore. I'm not really making it to the UFC. I was going to try out for the Ultimate Fighter. Didn't work out. I just wasn't into it. Like, I didn't want to do it to be famous or make money. I just wanted to do it to, like, all right, man, I'm not gonna be in my situation anymore. I wanna at least make a living. Then I joined the military, which I don't know if it was the best decision. It wasn't my first choice, but I figured I need something to fall back on. But it was a blessing in disguise. I learned a lot in the military. I loved the military. I didn't like my job. And then during a training exercise, because that's what we're trying to get at, right? The training exercise?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of weird because you tell people like, oh, you got PTSD, anxiety. Oh, it's from all everything you've seen in the military, everything you've done. But mine was exposed specifically during a training exercise. So we were doing a training exercise. My partner, we had these little masks on, they kind of like ninja masks. You put them on, you do some training. It's called move, shoot, communicate. So you're working with like live sim rounds, they're kind of like paintballs, but hurt a little bit more. So they're actually shooting at you and it hurts, dude. So we had the little mask on and it was kind of super tight and I'm already claustrophobic as it is. Had all my gear. Well, I trip and my partner, my training partner was trying to turn my, had a little strap for my M4, my rifle. And he got, his arm went in, he got stuck. He pulled me aside. He fell on top of me and I was choking from my gear and the mask. And I was trying to get him off of me and we're kind of panicking, but he was stuck. And so I think that's where originally it started, because then I took off all the gear, I felt fine. I ended up going to the emergency room. And it wasn't until a month later, as I was coming back, I was here, I took a month off here in Hollister. I was trying to go to the gym, trying to go talk to people. I started gagging while I was talking to people at the gym. Like, what the hell's wrong with me? You know, started wearing sweaters to jog and I'm like, I can't even wear a sweater. What the heck's wrong with me? So I take off my shirt, I'm like, I'm fine. And then when I went back to the base to go back to duty, I put on my gear again. The next morning I was putting on my shirt, and as soon as I put on my my full uniform, I started choking. What the hell's going on me? So I took off my top, threw it. I'm like, all right, I'm fine. All right, let me just do it again. If something's wrong with me. So I put it back on. I started gagging and choking again. I thought I was going to throw up. So I took it off. And then I thought, all right, I'm fine. Try to do it again. And it happened again. So I had to call my supervisor and tell her, like, hey, something's wrong with me. I'm not sure what's going on. And they're like, okay, just try to come. Don't wear your top, just wear your shirt. And the military is kind of like super strict, right? You can't go without your full uniform on or else you get like reprimanded. So I was kind of walking to the back, went to the supervisor unit, and then I thought, all right, cool, I'm fine, I feel better. I tried to put my gear on again and started choking again in front of everybody. Man, it was so super embarrassing. So I ran out and I told my supervisor, I can't do it, I don't know what's wrong. So they sent me to the emergency room and they told me, you have anxiety. And I'm like, what, anxiety, what the hell's that? I thought I was having a heart attack, dude. Like, my heart was pumping. I felt like I couldn't breathe. And they told me that it could be possible asthma, this and that. But then they told me it was anxiety. And pretty much that's kind of where everything kind of just took place. I'm like, what the hell is anxiety? So I kind of brushed it off. But that training environment is what exposed what I deal with now. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. I don't want to, you know.
No, definitely. So. That's kind of what triggered you, the trigger mm-hmm. point. How did that affect you after, though? Like, how, you know, talk about how it affected you after, because it was triggered. You finally found something that was kind of ticking you off.
Mm-hmm.
Uniform, sweaters, you couldn't do that because yep. you felt like you were choking. But, I mean, you don't just say, like, oh, I know what it is. I wake up tomorrow morning. Now that I know what it is, it's all gone.
Yeah.
So talk about the process, bro. Talk about the dilemmas. Not dilemmas, but the challenges you face after you found out what the trigger
so
was.
So after that originally happened, when I that day up at the base, when it got really, really bad, I couldn't wear the shirt. I had to drive home shirtless. And I was like holding the little seatbelt thing down so it wouldn't touch my neck. I'm like, dude, I'm going to get pulled over here, dude, because people are going to be like, hey, he's not driving with a seatbelt or something. When I went back home, I thought, okay, I'm fine. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just anxiety. So I thought, all right, cool, it'll go away in a couple of days. But it didn't. And what happened was I went back that day and I went to my mom's house and she was telling me like, oh, well, they told me it was anxiety, but I feel like I'm having a heart attack. I went to the doctors. They sent me to a doctor. They didn't find anything wrong with me except for high blood pressure, all these different things, right? And they said, oh, I think it's anxiety. I think it might be PTSD. I thought, well, you guys are crazy. You know, what the hell is anxiety? I never had anxiety before. So I kept, it got worse. As I was here, they gave me a month off. They gave me 30 days, the military. And as I was here in Hollister, man, I was here running around town, like trying to go places. I couldn't do it. I couldn't even wear the shirt for like more than 5 minutes. And then less than that, actually, I'd get up in the morning and I'm like, what the heck's going on with me? I can't wear this. I got really depressed. That's when my depression started, because I was like, a week's gone by and I can't wear my shirt. I can't go out. I don't know what's wrong with me. I've been going to the doctors, making appointments. So for like a month, when they finally just told me it's like it's an anxiety disorder or something,
mm-hmm.
I was really depressed at that time because I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why it has to happen to me. No one could find out what's wrong with me. And I was praying, man. That's when I first I was originally came to God, and I'm like, look, you gotta help me, man, fix me, because I don't know what the heck's going on with me. So then I got like even more depressed as it got worse. And so I finally said, look, if I can't fix this, or I can't figure out how I'm gonna get over this, then there's no point in living. I'm just gonna kill myself. So that was the original plan. And then I told my supervisor, like, I want to kill myself. Like, I don't want to go back, because those 30 days were up, and I had to go back to base, and I couldn't wear the uniform, I couldn't wear clothes. So I told my supervisor, like, I can't go up there. You know, I can't wear any clothes. All right, take another 30 days off. Take another 30 days off. And my mom didn't know what was going on with me. No one's. It's just, it got worse, bro. It got worse, worse, worse. Like, the depression got really, really, really bad. Mm-hmm. And then that's, yeah, man, it was really, really bad.
Would you say that was your rock bottom?
No. It wasn't. That didn't hit, rock bottom didn't hit till
the suicide. Oh, we talk about that.
Suicide. I actually tried, I dealt with depression before the military. Mm-hmm. Then after, when I, you know, MMA wasn't working out for me, I couldn't really, I couldn't make a career out of it. I had to join the military, didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't want to go back to school. I hated going to school. Then after the military, when that exposed, that whole anxiety thing was exposed, that was pretty much, yeah, it was rock bottom. I can say, yeah, it was. Because that's when I really tried to,
just kind of end it there?
Yeah, I came, it's crazy, man, because I'm a Christian now. Like, kind of grew up as a Christian, Catholic and then Christian. But I really was, like, praying to God, like, hey, look, I don't know what's going on with me, so don't let me wake up tomorrow morning, like, take me in my sleep. If I can't kill myself, then do this. You know, I don't want my family to think, I don't want my mom to think that she's a bad mom. Because everything that we've been through, she raised me, she did good. So I didn't want to put that on her, and I knew it would affect her, because the first time I tried to commit suicide, I saw how much it affected her, and it made me feel bad. Like, I felt guilty, and I felt like, dude, you're stupid, dude. Why would you do that? And I thought, I'm never gonna do that again. But this time, now it wasn't just depressed from life. I was depressed because I couldn't wear a shirt. I couldn't be around people. I couldn't go out. Like, I can't train. I can't do MMA anymore. I'm probably never gonna get a job with this. I can't wear clothes. I can't wear a shirt. So I thought, like, all right, man, the only other thing to do is try to kill myself. So I actually stole my grandpa's gun. He had a little gun that he used to have, and tried to kill myself. Didn't work. And that's when I was, like, at my low. I'm like, dude, if I can't kill myself, like, what the heck's going on? The gun actually didn't go off. Wow. I was praying. So this is weird. This goes into it. But, like, I was praying to God. I'm like, Lord, please help me. Please help me. Please help me, like, to get through this. I got the gun. I never... like, use any other gun besides the one in the military. Like, they only have certain guns they give you, so I know how to use that. Any other gun, I didn't know how to use. And even before the military, I never handled a gun before. So what happened was, I took the gun, I tried to shoot myself, didn't go off. And I thought, like, okay, Lord, is this a sign from you, God? You know, like, is this a sign I'm supposed to be here? And I thought, nah, this is a coincidence. Forget it. I still hate you. You know, I was mad at God, mm-hmm, for letting all this happen. Mm-hmm. And then I was at a low, man. Like, I would pray, like, if you don't help me, God, I'm going to give myself to the devil. I'm like, I'm going to tell him to help me, to make me successful in MMA and fighting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I tried all kinds of things, man. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go to, but I was trying so hard not to go to alcohol, drugs, and medication. Like, they offered me medication in the military. They offered me medication over here, and I refused it. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to do it head on, and that depression was, like, the lowest of the low, man. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sleep, nothing. Like, it was really, really bad, so...
Wow, man, that's intense. That's intense, bro. Cause you talked about not just once but twice, you know, trying to take your life. And right now you said that you were mad at him, at God, because you're like, why am I still here? Do you feel like that was his sign? Like, that was his message? Like, all his your prayers? Like, you know what? I'm gonna give you what you want, not by taking your life away, but to teach you, you know, now how you deal with it now. Because how do you deal with it now, man? How do you, if you don't mind me asking, have you had any suicidal thoughts since that last time?
I haven't. I haven't even really been depressed. Like, there's sometimes where I'm like, damn, dude, like, it sucks what I'm going through. But since then, some of the things that I haven't talked about, like, growing up, was that I started teaching when I was doing MMA, and I thought, I'm going to try to teach kids, keep for free, keep them off the streets, and I'll make a little bit of money. Couldn't make money doing that. Then after this last time trying to commit suicide, like, I think it was more of a, maybe it was a sign that God, like, I mean, obviously I'm still here for a reason, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that, but I haven't been that depressed at all, like I was that time. Like, it was bad to the point where I couldn't physically get up and work out. Like, I couldn't do anything. like depression physically, like what was going on mentally was affecting me physically. I didn't want to get out of bed. I was in pain all the time. And when I finally said, all right, cool. If I can't kill myself, if you're not going to kill me, you're not going to take me, I might as well figure out how the hell to get over this. You know, how am I going to deal with it? Mm-hmm. So then I started going online, and luckily I had a laptop, man. My mom, like, I'm going to let you borrow this laptop. You know, I got it. So I started going to the laptop. I'm like, all right, man, let me see if I can look up anxiety disorders, PTSD. Well, actually, no one said it was PTSD until later. But the anxiety disorder, I'm like, okay, what the hell's anxiety? My mom gets anxiety, whatever. But if I can't kill myself through all this, I'm just going to look it up. So what's good is that I was able to get, like, I took a couple months off. Well, obviously, I was taking a couple months off. I just started searching online, dude. Like, all day, everybody go to work. I was at my mom's house. And I'm like, oh, it's just me. Let me just look a couple hours. Look up online, anxiety disorders, anxiety, how it affects people. I'm not the only one dealing with the same anxiety disorder, which would make me feel better. How can I fix this without taking medication or becoming an alcoholic or taking drugs? Because most veterans with PTSD or anything like that, they go right to alcohol. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how they suppress it. Or they do different types of drugs or they take medication. Mm-hmm. And I thought, like, okay, I'm going to beat this. I'm going to learn how to get over this. So I started looking online, man. A lot of it had to do with diet and things like that. And I think I beat my depression. What I was thinking was depression wasn't really depression. It was more selfishness. I think a lot of people mistake selfishness for depression. And
Explain that. In what way? How
did selfishness? For me, it was selfish because I was thinking about myself, right? Like, why can't I wear a shirt? Like, why can't I do this? Even when I was depressed before, the first time I tried to commit suicide was, I was thinking, like, okay, why can't I get a good job? Why can't I get a freaking hot girlfriend? You know, why can't I have a nice car? Why can't I get more money? Why come I can't get good fights? And how come this, me? And I realized once I started helping kids, it took the attention off myself because I realized, like, hey, these kids are going through, dealing with worse things than I'm going through. And it made me feel good about myself, like helping other people, helping kids that don't have anything. And so I think I was being selfish. And so I was thinking about myself and I thought it was depression. I was getting depressed because of that. And a lot of people, like, there's depression for everything, right? You can have depression from trauma. You can have depression because of a chemical imbalance in your brain. Mm-hmm. Your diet's not right. But most people that suffer from depression are selfish. Like, I don't understand why this happened or this had to happen. I'm like, okay, you're thinking about yourself now. Like, if you go out and help somebody, I guarantee you your depression will be better. And that's one of the reasons why after this, that's last time I tried to commit suicide, I haven't been depressed because I train kids all the time. Mm-hmm. I help kids all the time. And I help people that are less fortunate, even if it's just one person. Like, you know, one of the kids I'm training right now, Romeo, I help him every day because if I don't work out, then I get depressed. I'll get anxiety. Mm-hmm. If in order to beat that, for me to stay off that, I have to help him, train him. So I don't think people understand, like my family doesn't understand why I help youth so much and young adults and why I train so much. They don't realize that that's my therapy. That's my way to stay away from alcohol, drugs, and medication, mm-hmm. is helping them beats my depression, and then working out beats my anxiety. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, selfishness, man. A lot of people out here, like, they get depressed for reasons. Oh, he left me, she left me. All right, cool. You're depressed for a few days. Don't stay depressed. Mm-hmm. Like, now you're just thinking about yourself, you know? Instead of, if you got kids, most women nowadays have kids, man, but they're depressed because their boyfriend or husband cheated on them and left them. I understand that. It's a hard situation, but, mm-hmm. you know, you're not gonna be depressed forever. Like, mm-hmm. stop thinking about yourself and your situation. You got kids to think about. Go out and help them, spend time with them. It'll mm-hmm. beat your depression. And, you know, not for everybody though, man. Some people have chemically imbalanced depression. Like,
I want to say something. Like, you said that a lot of people tend to lead to alcohol mm-hmm. and drugs, you know, when they're going through something like that. Your case was a little bit different. How'd your mindset get to that point? Like, what made you think that way? Like, because you said that you could have, like, anybody does that, right? But you were like, no, I have to beat this with no medication.
Yeah.
What shift your mindset like that? Like,
my older brother was involved with gangs, and he ended up going to rehab twice. Mm-hmm. And I seen him on drugs, so I didn't want to go into any kind of drug. Because I knew, like, myself, I learned from other people. Like, okay, I seen him. Even if it's just medical marijuana or CBD, like, if it's me, like, I have the worst luck, man. I'll probably do that, and all of a sudden, I'm like, you know, I'm gonna go into jail for some guy that sold me some illegal weed or something. Mm-hmm. Like, but I watched my dad, you know, how he was with my mom. He wouldn't have to do drugs, but I knew he needed medication, like, he needed something. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and I worked with kids in the mental health field for so long that most of them were on medication, and it messed them up. Mm-hmm. Like, these kids were good at one point for ADD or ADHD. They take medication, all of a sudden they have all these other symptoms from medication. So I always tell people, like, hey, man, try to avoid giving your kid medication because it'll mess them up even more and make them worse. And alcohol, I was drunk 3 times. So this is one thing I didn't say. It was like, I was drunk 3 times before the age of 10. 2 of them not by choice. 1 of them, I was just being dumb, and I thought I put, like, I ate some salsa one time. My grandma made it, and I was burning, so I went, and they had those little tequila bottles, thingies from Mexico, and she came back, and I was just like, ah. And I remember it felt weird. But one time, my uncles, they used to give us alcohol and beer, and then make us put on gloves. I was like 7 or 8, and then they'd give, like, yeah, and then you'd just, you know, like, make us fight, and they would bet on us. And I remember he's like, hey, drink 2 of them. I was like, I can probably drink 1, dude. And he was like, ah, it's nasty. And then, they gave me 2 of those, and you start feeling kind of weird. They'd give to the other kid and my cousins, and they put us in a circle, and they bet money on us, and they put on boxing gloves, and we start fighting. So another time I got drunk, my brother tricked me. I was super thirsty. He told me it was a Slurpee, and it was a margarita, and I drank it. I was like, that's nasty, and I got drunk. We laugh about it now, but, like, that's one of the reasons I don't like the taste of alcohol, because I had it as a kid. So even if I wasn't a Christian, if I wasn't, like, people tell me all the time, oh, you don't drink. Like, oh, you're weird. I'm like, all right, bro, like, I don't need a drink to have a good time. Like, it's weird to me that in order for you to have a good time, you have to drink. But it has nothing to do with me being a Christian or anything like that. It's just, I don't like the taste, you know, because I had a bad taste as a kid. But I watched my brother on drugs and things like that. I didn't want to, and I've heard of so many veterans and people going on to drugs and doing more drugs because it's not helping them. And I didn't want to do that. My brother was high on PCP one time, man, tried to drown me. Wow. And he didn't know what he was doing. And we laugh about it now, but I think back, my dude, like, you almost killed me, man, you know? Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of times my brother, that's a whole other story in itself, but he was a drug addict, gang member, and I seen that, and I thought, I'm never going to be like that, you know? I'm never going to be like my dad. I'm never going to be on alcohol or anything. So I realized, like, how am I going to do this without medication, drugs, or alcohol? Like, all right, what's the thing that makes me feel good? Working out. So when you work out, it raises endorphins, lowers cortisol, which is the stress hormone, which people get stressed, which is the main cause for depression, anxiety, mental health issues, and physical health issues. So I didn't know that at the time, but I started working out, man, and that's pretty much how I was able to maintain without trying to be like, all right, cool. I felt so good. I'm like, all right, I'm tired. I was too tired to be thinking of, like, oh, man, I want to have a drink right now, or I want to take something that made me feel better. And so that's how. Yeah, man, I didn't want to do any of that drugs and stuff like that because I seen it to my brother and my family.
Of course. I appreciate, you know, everything you've talked about, bro. And it's very interesting how you've dealt with it. It's not so much that you've ran away from it. Like you said earlier, you kind of went on head on. You didn't find externalities to deal with drugs, alcohol. I know it's not easy for everyone, and it's easier said than done. However, all that said, I feel like you built this foundation for yourself that ultimately developed your purpose. So before we end, I want you to explain what you do for the community, for yourself, to kind of advocate for, awareness of mental health.
So for myself, I mean, I have to train. I train physically. I change my diet. I'm trying to go to a 100% vegan plant-based diet, but sometimes pizza out here is too dang good. You know what I mean? Like, if I can go 100% without pizza, I'm good. Mm-hmm. But changing my diet completely, man, helped me. Lowers inflammation, so I don't feel like I'm being suffocated, claustrophobic. But working out is my therapy, man. If I don't work out, I feel depressed. I feel anxiety. I feel, like, angry. I have too much stress on me. For me, so now what I do is I help other people, and I want to show other people that you can overcome all your mental health issues, your anxiety issues. Like my anxiety disorder specifically, like, is anything, if I get nervous, anything that touches my neck, I start choking. So I want to show other people that you can overcome that, you know, if you do fitness and, like, proper diet. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go to alcohol, drugs, or medication. And a lot of people do that. They'll go right to, like, medication, right to drugs, alcohol, as opposed to, like, hey, try to work out, push your body. If you push your body to its limits, like, mentally, you know, you're going to get stronger. And if you push yourself mentally, physically, your body will get stronger. A lot of people look into the physical part and trying to get a quick fix as opposed to looking like, all right, cool, let me strengthen my mind first. And if I strengthen my mind, your body will come into play. So I run a program, and I just help anybody in general that's dealing with mental health issues, PTSD, and I train them for free. So, and I cater to their needs, to what they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. So if they're dealing with anxiety, it's going to be more secluded. So things like that. Like, and I work with kids right now on the street to keep them off the streets too. They're dealing with addiction issues.
That's
most
great.
Addiction issues are mental. So
that's great, dude. That's great. Any last words you want to say, bro, before we, you know, end our segment? Dude, we could talk. It's a very interesting story, man, and I would love to have you back. But any last words?
Oh, come train with us, man. And come October, we're going to have two people fighting. December, mid-December, I'm not sure the exact dates. I'm going to be fighting in Singapore. So y'all come check it out and come train with us, man.
Yeah.
Open to everybody in the community, all right? Families, it's free. Families, kids, anybody dealing with anything, workout, it's all free, man. Muay Thai.
Definitely, bro. I appreciate. Any last words, Odin?
This has been good, man. Appreciate
it. Y'all got you to come out and work out with us, man.
Hell yeah, dude. That's the next step. You know, next step. Muay Thai. You know, learn some of the skill. But, dude, once again, I appreciate your time. And one of the biggest things, bro, my respect to you for being, not attached to who you could have been, or not let yourself be defined by an illness, you know, that's real, because it's real. So for anyone who's listening to this or watching this, if you are suffering through anything, reach out to someone. Really try to discover, you know, this illness that should not define you. So, you know, reach out to him, reach out to someone, a family member, or a professional. But, you know, take it serious, and you could always be better. You know, we're put on this earth for a purpose, and you got to find it and develop it. So once again, bro, thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure, bro. I appreciate it, man. So there you guys have it. Another successful heist. This has been very exciting. I appreciate everyone who's watching it. Feedback once again. And I hope you take something very valuable out of this one. So there you guys have it. And we're out, guys. Thank you.
Share the video.
Cut.